everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster, along with Ed Alexander, Ed producing and engineering the show today. We welcome you to the program on this Wednesday, January 21st, 2015, coming to you from AM 1030 KVOI The Voice, and we live stream the show at the station's website, kvoi.com, and of course, it's live streaming on my web show, website, buckmastershow.com. That's also the place that we have all of our podcasts, and we have all the archive of all the shows we've done over the past 4 years. As usual, we have a very busy noon hour for you. We have Pima County Supervisor Allie Miller in studio with me. Then about 12:30, we're going to be talking about an amazing exhibition that is going on at the Tucson Museum of Art. If you have not been over there for this particular show, it's a good one. In fact, so many people have been going to that it has been extended into the spring. We'll tell you about that. And then we'll close out the program with the University of Arizona College of Science Dean, Dr. Joaquin Ruiz, will be joining us. We'll be previewing the 10th Annual College of Science Public Lecture Series, which starts on Monday night. This has become a huge deal. Folks wait all year for this series, and we'll tell you about what is planned this year. Our live line number is 790-2040, and the Facebook page is Bill Buckmaster, Pima County Supervisor, District 1, Republican. Allie Miller is with us, and Allie's always a good sport about taking any calls or comments. Allie, how are you? Supervisor, good to see you.
I'm very well. Thank you, Bill. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. Hope the new year is off to a pretty good start for you.
It is. It's been a busy one. We have already had 3 meetings down at the board, and so we get next week off, which is a good time to, you know, go back and get the stuff done that we've been, you know, kind of piled up there and, you know, get caught up.
How's the feeling on the board as we start a new year?
Well, we've had some very successful meetings. We have all agreed unanimously to end the practice of donating monies out of individual supervisor budgets. And as you know, I worked very hard on that, brought it up last September, and it was a unanimous vote to end it and come up with a policy that the policy was outlined by Mr. Huckleberry, but it's going to be implemented in the 2015 budget. The practice is stopped, and then the policy is going to be a pretty strict review process. The county attorney has to sign off on it as well. So we're not going to see things that shouldn't, in my opinion, and in the opinion of a couple of other attorneys, be taxpayer money shouldn't be utilized for those things. So I think that was a good thing, and it was a very good meeting, and I felt very positive that it was a unanimous vote.
So each supervisor, each of the 5 supervisors, gets a certain amount of money to manage their office for every fiscal year. Is that how it works?
That's correct. Yeah, we get roughly $400,000, and the majority of that goes to salaries. That includes our salary as well, the vehicle, the gas, et cetera, and the salaries and benefits for the employees and any other overhead that you have. And so we end up with, somewhere in the neighborhood of $100,000, I would say, the average office, to buy office supplies, that kind of thing. So it's not a lot of money.
What happens then to the money that's not used?
Well, what happened with my money and what I believe will be happening from now on, it's turned back to the general fund at the end of the year. But
fix a few potholes.
Well, that would be nice. I'd be donating mine to potholes, yes. And then it's at the discretion of the board to vote. You end up with those monies at the end of the year, and hopefully there's an excess so that you start out the next year with a little bit of money in the fund already, in the general fund. So,
well, money was being given, I understand, to some nonprofits. So will they necessarily, well, they will not be getting money from the individual districts. Are they kind of the losers in this deal?
No, they're not really losers, because we already have a board with appointees from all of the individual supervisors. And we all, and we get a lot of federal grant monies and other grant monies. And that's all allocated and voted on by those members of that committee, independent of the Board of Supervisors. So they're already getting monies from that. These were individual ones were will now, if they want to apply for monies, they go to that board. That's the understanding I have. I don't think they'll be creating a separate board, but they'll go to a board, apply, and then see if, you know, whoever the, where the most need is. That that independent board will evaluate whether there's a need and whether it's critical and who gets the monies first. So there aren't really any losers in this. I think it's a win for the taxpayers because I believe that there was a violation of the gift clause. There are other supervisors that will tell you that they didn't believe there was, but there were two attorney opinions, and one of them I paid for myself just to have a second opinion.
What'd you pay for? I mean, what? How much money out of your own pocket did you?
Well, I paid $2,100 for that opinion, and it was from an individual who is an expert on this type of litigation.
And the individual's opinion was, bottom line,
he agreed with Goldwater's assessment, which was these were a violation of the state gift clause. And it was the $90,000 in the last 2 years from two supervisors that was evaluated. It didn't go back to 1996. So that was the opinion of two of them. The county attorney, on the other hand, said he thought it was all legal and fine, which is the reason I went to get that second opinion. And I felt it was very important to solidify my position because I am not an attorney. And then, as I said in the meeting, opinions are just that, opinions. So, you know, we take it as it is. But when you have two strong attorney opinions that it is a violation, I think it kind of, you know, moved people in the right direction. And I'm very pleased.
All right, let's go to our friend Jim Kelly would like to speak with Supervisor Miller. Go ahead, Jim.
Good afternoon, Bill. Good afternoon, Allie. Good to talk to you again.
Hello, Jim.
Hi. Listen, Allie, what influence does the Board of Supervisors have with regards to the FEMA Association of Governments? Specifically, I would like the PAG to start tackling that eyesore at I-10 and 4th Avenue in South Tucson, which is the old Spanish Trail Motel.
Oh, yeah. That's interesting you bring that up, Jim, because I saw you weigh in on that on Facebook today. That was brought up by my friend Bob Westerman today on Facebook, and Bob put this photograph of this really, like you say, it's an eyesore. What can be done? And I will join Jim in the question here, Allie. What can be done to get that thing?
Well, that is in the city of South Tucson, correct, Jim?
Jim, is it in the city of South Tucson?
Yes, it is.
It is. Okay. Well, the Pima County Association of Governments is just that. It's an association of governments. So it would, if someone went to PAG to request their help, that's a separate board. I do not sit on that board. We have one representative on that board who is Ramon Valadez, and I don't sit on that board. So they're, you know, you could go to the city of South Tucson, which I don't think they're really hurting. So I don't think you get much help there. A Pima Association of Governments, I don't know what kind of funding they have for that type of thing. I do know
Go ahead, Jim.
I'm sorry, Allie. What I'm looking for is perhaps a private government, private partnership that can develop not only the old Spanish Trail property, but the other empty property and the soon-to-be empty Tucson Greyhound Park property, assemble it, and maybe create an economic enterprise area with a boutique hotel and boutique retail that could raise sales taxes for the city of South Tucson.
That sounds too good an idea.
Well, it's a good idea, but you have to find that private investor that's willing to come in, Jim. And as you know, our economy is not very good here right now, and there are a lot of people living in poverty. And, you know, we've got to first think about, you know, getting our infrastructure. And I get your idea, but I think one of the things that happened in the last board meeting was the foreign trade zone, home goods that we're bringing in, which is a great thing that's happening in Pima County. So hopefully maybe there'll be more of that type of investment. I'm not sure of the exact area that you're talking about, so I don't know where that is in relationship to this other development, but this development was close to the rail line, which was important, and to the freeway. Go to PAG and go to one of their meetings and speak out and ask the question.
All right. Thank you, Jim. And you brought up Home Goods, which is a home accessories store planning to open a West Coast Distribution Center near Tucson International Airport. This sounds like a good deal. 400 new jobs, maybe as many as 900.
Yeah. What the investment is $79 million in the construction of the facility. So we're automatically going to get construction jobs right away. And they're expecting this operation distribution center to be operational in 2017. And the projection now, I haven't, I question some of the numbers, but the projection is it'll bring in something like $800 million in economic impact. I want to go through and review those with Mr. Snell. I want to get and analyze that further, but that's his projection. And the taxpayers are investing over a 15-year period, approximately $5 million to get this company to come in. And so it's giving them a reduction in property tax. It's taking the multiplier down from 19 to 5, which will help incentivize them to come in here. And I believe this, when you create 400 jobs and they have guaranteed they are required to guarantee a 401k plan, dental, health benefits, and the wages aren't the highest, but it's going to put people to work.
Yep.
And they actually put some teeth in this contract, which I congratulated Mr. Huckleberry and Mr. Snell on that. I think it was a good move. And it'll bring in other distribution centers, I think.
Have they made a decision? Or?
Well, they have. My understanding is they've signed a contract for intent to purchase the land. But they're waiting, I believe, on some incentives from the
kind
city of Tucson.
Agreement in principle, something like
yes.
A first step. Yeah.
Yeah. So
all
it's
right.
Not a 100% done deal at this point that I know of.
All right. Allie Miller is with us. She'll stick around for another segment, 790-2040. When we come back, is this no tobacco policy still on the table in Pima County? We'll talk about that with Allie Miller right after this.
This is Ken Flower of Arizona Party Rental. Here's what our customers are saying about us.
Dave Fitzsimmons, cartoonist here. Planning a party or a special event? Check him out at ArizonaPartyRental.net.
This is Chris Edwards from Tucson Appliance. When it comes to parties and events, I always use Arizona Party Rental, where quality and customer service are their priority as well.
This is Bill Viner with the Tucson Festival of Books. Arizona Party Rental is a great partner. They maintain high standards for all of their products and deliver five-star service.
I'm Diana Cannon, Tournament Director for the Tucson Association of Realtors Shoot. If you're planning an event, big or small, put Arizona Party Rental on your team.
Hi, this is Andy Brown. I've been in the special event business over 20 years, and nobody does it better than Arizona Party Rental.
This is Bob Schaff. For your next party or event, don't think about calling anyone but Arizona Party Rental. Their selection is amazing, and their service is remarkable.
Thanks a lot, everybody. Hey, you can join the party, too. Go to ArizonaPartyRental.net.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
You've worked hard all your life, and there's no way you're about to bend over the hood of your car and fix it. I'm Mike Emery, and I'd like to respectfully suggest that you take your car or truck to Perfection Autoworks. In addition to specializing in Porsche, Audi, VW, and Mercedes-Benz, we can fix your Lexus, Chevy, Ford, and even your Nash. Call today, 323-8650, or visit our website at perfectionautoworks.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority has completed more than 570 projects to date. Our projects range from new roadway lanes to new transit services, plus new sidewalks and bike lanes. The Regional Transportation Authority also funds crosswalks for added pedestrian safety and new signal technology to keep people and goods moving. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Hey, Hey, honey. Welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Are you happy with the news you get? Well, not all news is good news. You know good reporting when you see it. And you can support solid, nonpartisan journalism by becoming a backer of TucsonSentinel.com's Panorama Project, an unprecedented effort to photograph every mile of the Arizona-Mexico border. Your local independent online news needs your help. Back Panorama on Kickstarter to support our ambitious project to paint a vivid and accurate picture of the borderlands. Go to TucsonSentinel.com/Panorama to learn more. And back us on Kickstarter today. TucsonSentinel.com. Because a smarter Tucson is a better Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Thursday, Tucson is becoming a national hub for festivals. We'll announce a new one on the Buckmaster Show, and we'll talk with Dr. David Levy, world-renowned comet discoverer, plus author Ken Lamberton talking about his new book. We're on noon to one on AM 1030 KVOI The Voice, and always on at BuckmasterShow.com for anywhere in the world live streaming, podcasts, and show archive. Well, 20 on the Buckmaster Show. If you like chocolate, I certainly do. The 16th annual Chocolate Fantasia is coming up. This has become a really big regional event over in downtown Silver City, New Mexico, just 3 hours east of Tucson, and there will be, I'll tell you, booth after booth of gourmet chocolate, so you might not want to eat for a week before you... Allie, you like chocolate, don't you?
I do, yeah. But I like to stay away from it.
Well, this is... Yeah, I guess if you've made that New Year's resolution to lose weight, this might not be the best place, but Chocolate Fantasia has become such a big deal. It's fun, and it's a pre-Valentine's Day event, and it's February the 7th. Over in Silver City, and again, only 3 hours east of Tucson. So many wonderful things to do over there. You can go hiking. Yeah, you can eat the chocolate.
Then you can go hiking to work
and
then it off.
Go hiking in the nation's first wilderness area, the Gila National Wilderness, southwestnewmexico.org. That is the website for all of the things to do and great places to stay, like Bear Mountain Lodge. Allie Miller is with me in studio. Supervisor Miller, representing District 1 in Pima County, Republican, county to resume no tobacco policy consideration. So says the county administrator, Chuck Huckleberry. I guess this is coming back before you and your colleagues next month.
Yeah, I expect it to be coming back. And I'll tell you, I've had a problem with it since the beginning because, number one, just banning hiring any employees who are smokers. Or if they've been on the patch, if they test for cotinine, they are not going to be hired by the county. And to me, this is government overreach. You know, what's next? And we have to be careful when we get on that slippery slope because we all have our vices. You know, some of us like chocolate and they get a little overweight and then they'll be weighing us when we come in and saying, I'm not going to hire you if your BMI is a certain thing.
Blood test, genetic blood profile.
You know, you don't want to get
any predisposition for any disease.
Yes,
yeah.
There you go. And then the thing of it is we have county employees who smoke who are trying to quit smoking. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they've come to me and we've discussed it. And they said they're actually, this is making it more difficult for me if I can't get into the cessation programs because I'm either going to be required to quit immediately, which I can't because it's such an addictive substance. And my personal opinion, I would be for something more like an incentive program that if you were willing to take a test and you were willing to prove that you didn't smoke, then you get a discount on your insurance. But I don't think we should force people. And the other thing that I find very, very dangerous in there is that if I, as your supervisor, decide, you know, Bill, I think you had a cigarette today, I can order you to go get a test.
Really?
Yes, and it will be at supervisor's discretion. So I find that that could be a potential issue for lawsuits, for retaliation against an employee for something. I mean, there could be those allegations. So, yes, that is one of the things that's in there that is, in my opinion, not good.
And how could new hires have to prove, or how would they even prove, that they haven't had a cigarette in at least a year?
You know, I think they're going to initially go on the honor system. But, you know, if someone wants a job at Pima County and they're a smoker and they know they can't get hired unless they say they're not a smoker, guess what? I mean, we're going to have smokers. The thing to do is to work on programs to help them quit. No one hates cigarette smoking more than me. I used to be a cigarette smoker. I quit many, many years ago, over 30 years ago. And I smoked long enough to do some damage to my lungs. I mean, I felt it very strong at the age of 25. I quit. And so I hope that people do quit. And I hope that we, you know, continue building these programs to help people quit versus penalizing them with huge health care benefit increases.
Allie Miller is with us, 790-2040 on the Buckmaster Show live line. Let's go to KG. KG, you are up with Allie. Go ahead.
Hey, aren't we entitled to certain rights of privacy that keep the government from snooping around in our personal lives?
Well, I agree with you 100%, KG. I think if you want to smoke a cigarette on the weekend, I don't think Pima County or any other employer should be testing you on Monday morning and saying, you know, or just think if your supervisor saw you out on the weekend smoking a cigarette. I mean, can you imagine where this is going to go and the lawsuits that are going to happen? And I believe strongly in the right to privacy, the right to live your life the way you see fit. I have lost my brother and my mother to cigarette smoking, which is why I really dislike it. But it was a choice they made, and they would be the first ones, if they were sitting here, to say, it is my choice. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like I said, you know, we all make choices, and we all have different things that one person may find good and another person may find bad, and that could affect your health.
Ingrid is up next on the live line. Hello, Ingrid. Go ahead.
Hi. Just quickly, you know, cigarette smoking is not an illegal activity.
Mm, right.
That's number one. Number two, drinking alcoholic beverages is not an illegal activity. But if people are talking about cigarette smokers, they can also now talk about alcohol consumers and say, you can't work here. And that would just about eliminate 75%. Thank you very much.
You know, you get down there, Ingrid, and that is true. You know, you talk about, what about the illegal substances? Why aren't we testing for, you know, cocaine or marijuana? I guess some marijuana is legal if you have a prescription for mm-hmm. it. But, you know, if you don't, people using marijuana on county time, driving county vehicles, I don't know if that's legal to be impaired while driving county vehicles if you have a medical marijuana prescription. In my opinion, it shouldn't be. It should be illegal. But, you know, there's a lot of illegal substances that I think we should test for first. And until cigarettes are illegal, I don't think we should be doing this to people.
Well, some people have huge egos, and they love to throw their weight around. I think that's what's going on in a lot of government positions.
All right. Yeah. Thank you, Ingrid. Only have about 2 minutes left. How are we doing with the road? There was $5 million freed up about a year ago into the general fund, right?
Yeah, and that money did get spent on road repairs last mm-hmm. year. We only got $300,000 in District 1. This year, we have $1.9 million in District 1. It is only going to go for arterial roads, but it's much needed repair, which is, you know, it's better than nothing. But there is a committee that is formed, and they're looking at how to solve this road problem. And I am willing to work and get out of my comfort zone. But there has to be a lot of lock boxes and ways that this money is not going to go anywhere but to road repair. So I will tell you that is going on, and it will be coming forward at some point down the road. And I think that's actually very exciting news. And I think we could come up with a solution if we all could, you know, come to an agreement and a little give and take. And I know I'll have to, you know, give and take as well. And I think we can come up with a solution at the board level is what I hope.
I was just going to ask you quickly. I've only got a minute. Will there be a bond election, do you think, this year?
I think if there is, I don't think it will pass. But as far as I know, they are moving forward. They're still having their meetings, and I haven't seen the final list has not been finalized. My big concern is every time you pass bonds, you always end up with maintenance and operations costs that go on in perpetuity that are never, addressed for the voters. You know, they get the amount, the $3 per year for the bond, but the most important and the highest cost is the operations and maintenance of whatever facility you're building. So that's one thing that I put forward to the Secretary of State to on my legislative agenda to get a change so that that's put on the ballot when people vote. They know not only the secondary property tax, but how it's going to impact them in perpetuity on their primary tax rate.
And as I mentioned before the interview, as a constituent up in District 1, we have an epidemic now of people breaking into mailboxes.
Yes.
Happened again on our street yesterday. They're breaking in. Doesn't matter if you've got any kind of a locking device, they'll pry it open. So we actually had to put a bar with a padlock in front of the mailbox, and hopefully that will deter them, but it is at epidemic proportions now.
There are a lot of issues like this in Pima County because of the poverty that is in Pima County, and we until we get jobs and we get things moving here, I believe we're gonna see more of this. I had it in my neighborhood, and the only thing I can suggest is that people contact my office. We will meet with the sheriff in that district and go out there and try to help figure out a solution to, you know, if it's putting up a camera. You know, they have those game cameras.
Yeah.
If it means doing something like that or having increased patrols.
I'm thinking about actually putting a camera by our mailbox. I really am. And tell them.
I have cameras all around my house now.
After
what happened last year, you know, you have to nowadays. And it actually is very effective in helping catch these criminals.
All right, Allie Miller, thanks a lot. Hope the new year continues to go well for you. Thanks for coming in.
Okay, thank you for having me, Bill. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. 12:31 on the Buckmaster Show. Tucson Museum of Art really doing very good things. We'll hear about that next.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu. Please join the UA College of Science, which celebrates the premiere of its 10th free public lecture series starting Monday, January 26th. This year's seven lecture series topic is Life in the Universe, which explores our universe of molecular, biological, and cosmic scale to ask, what is life and how do we recognize it? Each program starts at 7 p.m. More information at cos.arizona.edu.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antique, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Hi.
Wouldn't you like a voice like mine talking about your business? Saying things like, thank you for calling, or press 1 for hours and directions. Well, it can. Cox Business offers Voice Manager, allowing you to get a professional voice to record your voicemail greeting. And with my voice, you'll need to warn whoever manages your lead gen data, because your customer base is about to expand. If you don't like my voice...
There's always mine.
Thank you for calling. All our customers are important to us.
How do you like that?
I think mine might be more appropriate.
You don't know that.
I can do fancy accents.
As good as this.
Make a great impression before you answer the phone. Cox Business Internet and Voice Manager is only $84 a month for the first 6 months with a 3-year agreement. Plus, get a $150 Visa prepaid card after online redemption. Bundle and save today. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 5/3/15. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Actual speeds vary. Other restrictions apply.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. The Rug Gallery's extensive collection of new and antique rugs has earned an international reputation and has been featured on the cover of Christie's magazine, as well as many of the world's most respected carpet and textile publications. The Rug Gallery thanks Tucson for their support over the past 27 years as the place to see fine Persian and top quality imported and antique rugs at competitive, affordable prices. With its huge selection of hand-woven rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. The Rug Gallery is located in the Jostler Center at the northwest corner of River and Campbell, and on the web at ruggalleryaz.com. Also, look for us on Facebook. Call 571-RUGS. That's 571-7847. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It's our midweek edition. We push now towards 12:36. Well, established in 1924, the Tucson Museum of Art and Historic Block encompasses an entire city block in historic downtown Tucson and features original and traveling exhibitions focusing on art of Latin America, art of the American West, modern and contemporary art, and Asian art, as well as, of course, doing very wonderful tours. They've got great education programs, studio art classes, and a really fine museum store. Joining me in studio is Dr. Julie Sassy. Julie is the chief curator for modern and contemporary art and curator of TMA's really outstanding Latin American art collection, too. Julie, good to see you.
Pleasure to be here.
I am really excited about seeing this show, The Figure Examined, Masterworks from the Kesser Mochari Art Foundation, and I'm really excited because I haven't had a chance to get over there, and the show is being extended.
We're very excited that we were able to work with our schedule to extend it to April 12th, and it was going to end in February, so it gives us a lot of extra time for people to come through.
How did Tucson get this show with really the show that encompasses just really world-class kind of grandmasters, it's almost like a fundamental art history class?
It really
by
is.
Going to check the show out. How do we get this show?
Well, actually, this has been in the works since the early 2000s, and we would get it on the schedule, and it would become so daunting of a task because much of the work was coming from Europe. That we would push it back, or economic situations would change. And we finally just worked together, Joanne Stuhr, the Kesser Mochari curator of the one that's here in the United States. They have one also in Europe. We worked together in the early 2000s at the museum, and we decided, let's just really push this through. So wonderfully, our director, Robert Knight, was very much supportive of it, and we worked together to make it happen. But we had to clear the decks for about a full year and work on it very intently.
What are some of the show highlights, Julie?
Well, I've got to tell you, this is some of the greatest hits you can imagine in terms of artists, the big heavy hitters of modern art. There are works by Pablo Picasso, Paul Gauguin, Renoir, Auguste Rodin, Mary Cassatt. I mean, you name it, it's in there. Henri Matisse. It's a chance to see some of the works that, while they might be in collections locally, you just don't see them all together in one place like we've been showing lately.
This is really nice. I'm looking at the wonderful catalog. It's really nice, Diego Rivera.
It's amazing, and it doesn't look like what you'd expect.
No.
It's more of a, almost a Bruegel-esque kind of
When was this done? 1920. Okay,
isn't that
amazing?
Yeah.
Pretty early Rivera. The Picasso, let's see, you've got a couple of Picassos.
One from
when
he was a teenager, and then a couple of later pieces. What's really exceptional about this exhibition is there are many pieces that you wouldn't normally recognize as the artist's work. So it's a chance to actually learn more about what you catch in a snippet in an art history book or on Google. You know, you get to learn more about the evolution of an artist's work.
The sculpture is really forefront in this show.
Mm-hmm. Actually, the Kasser Moshari Art Foundation is really heavily focused on the figure, but not entirely. But sculpture lends itself to that form. And we've got a tremendous number of bronzes. One of the most exceptional pieces, the large scale Adam sculpture by Rodin, and that one has been actually the focal point of the whole exhibition.
Attendance wise, this has really boosted TMA. You're close to, I know you're still working on kind of the final numbers for the 90th anniversary year. I mean, you couldn't ask for a better 90th anniversary, I guess.
Absolutely.
Your numbers are very close or maybe over record breaking.
Yes, we were already doing very well last year, but we have tripled our attendance, tripled our membership, and tripled revenue from the museum store, not to mention the catalog, which has also been a big boost. So it shows that, you know, when you provide quality programming, quality exhibitions, people do come out, and they really showed it by coming out in droves, and we have lines for the first time at our admissions counter.
Very cool. Paul Gauguin, one of my favorite artists. There are two Gauguins, one a bronze, well, both are bronzes, but they're not what I would think of as a typical Gauguin.
One of them is just an exquisite little sculpture of a Parisian woman all decked out, very diminutive. At the same time, in the exhibition is one from his Tahiti series, originally carved in wood. So it's
nice.
Much more of that exotic other that he portrays.
One of my favorite American artists, Rockwell Kent. I like to see this. Three Kents here. What were they? All three are lithographs? Yes.
They are, and they're really monumental, though, in the way he portrays the figure. We divided the show into the private image and the public image. So he is under sort of a designation that we call the narrative. So it's telling a story. And I think this one is illustrating Beowulf.
You know, if folks have not been to TMA, and there are a lot of winter visitors, newcomers who are listening to us right now, tell us a little bit about the nuts and bolts of the operation.
Well, interestingly, for all the exhibitions we put on, we only have two curators, but we have a team all together, both in administration and curatorial, that is one of the most hardworking, dedicated group of people I've ever met. We put on, I think we have at least five exhibitions going on at any given time, and they take anywhere from 5 months to 3 years to put together. Oftentimes they go on for years in terms of their planning and development. It's just wonderful on top of artisans markets and wine festivals and lots of fabulous things. We have a new beer festival every year, so it's something for everyone.
Okay, the figure examined is the main show right now, but there are some other shows coming up. Give us a quick rundown of what is going on in addition to the figure examined, and what can we expect through the remainder of the winter and spring?
Okay, well, we still have ongoing Southwest Anthems, which is Southwest Landscapes, which is a wonderful array from Merrill Mahaffey, Nikolai Fetchin, Jack Van Ryder, showing how artists really portrayed the grandeur and sort of the sense of nationalism in the landscape. We have an exhibition from the Permanent Collection as well of the WPA Connection, which is artists who at one time or another worked for the WPA under the Federal Arts Project, and that is a fabulous
That shows
exhibition.
Up through when?
That's actually probably going up through the summer.
Good.
And everything from Marsden Hartley's to Louise Nevelson, it's fabulous.
I love
show.
That period of American art, often referred to as American regionalism, from the kind of the Depression era of the 30s into the early
40s. Well, yes and no. Many of the artists that this will be a great way for people to understand the breadth of the work done. Many of the artists were abstract artists at the forefront of abstract expressionism. So you won't see just the American regionalism, but what they often did in their own time because the Federal Arts Project allowed them to be able to continue to do their work. We also have an exhibition called Shadow Play, which is contemporary art where the artists have focused on the shadow either for its symbolic content or its aesthetic devices to help create their works. So we have lots of great things up currently, and we've reinstalled our permanent collection of our Latin American folk art, and it's a lively exhibition. It's so much fun.
Oh, it's so much going on at Tucson Museum of Art. Congratulations, Julie, and the work you and Dr. Knight have done there.
Thank you very much.
Guys have done a great job at Tucson Museum of Art. What are your hours now?
Our hours are 10 to 5. We are free on the third Thursday. We're open on Thursday nights from 5 to 8. And I think Sundays are noon to 5, so there's lots of time to come at different times of the day and times of the week. And we do have our biennial coming up, so do check www.tucsonmuseumofart.org for all the upcoming shows after this and for our biennial application form.
I've only got a couple of seconds, but Downtown Renaissance has got to help you guys.
Well, we hope so, but I'm telling you, there's so much to see and do and great new restaurants and the rapid transit that it's good for us, too.
Julie Sassy with us from Tucson Museum of Art, and I strongly recommend folks check it out, The Figure Examined. You will probably, if you go, you might run into me because I'm going to certainly go see that show. 12:45. Thanks, Julie. Good to see you. 12:45 on the Buckmaster Show. Another outstanding series of lectures coming up from the UA College of Science. That's next on the Buckmaster Show.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kevin Lehman on behalf of Five Star Termite and Pest Control. You know, the other day I went out in my garage and I saw a cockroach on his back, just the way I like to view a cockroach. And just before he expired, he looked up at me and said, "The Five Star Technician got me." Adios, cucaracha.
We're Five Star Pest Control. We know what bugs you.
Sunlink Streetcar, Sun Shuttle, Twin Peaks Interchange, Valencia Road, Houghton Road, Saharita Road, McGee Road. Just a few examples of projects funded through the Regional Transportation Authority. Since voter approval of the RTA plan in 2006, the RTA and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 570 projects to make our transportation network safer and less congested. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Hey, honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Mori's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Mori is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Viro Mori, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Viro Mori on the web at viroamori.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. The University of Arizona College of Science is presenting this year's lecture series, Life in the Universe, Monday evening starting January 26th through March 9th at UA Centennial Hall. The lectures are free and open to everyone. It's the 10th year for the UA Science Lecture Series with its distinguished speakers, giving everybody an opportunity to discover astonishing new insights about our world and ourselves. Joining us to discuss this year's lecture series is Dr. Joaquin Ruiz, Dean of the UA College of Science. The College of Science serves some 7,500 undergraduate and graduate students and brings together globally prominent faculty in disciplines at the core of scientific inquiry and education. Dr. Ruiz, good to see you.
It's always a pleasure seeing you, Bill.
This is an amazing series. I remember the first year interviewing you when we were over at the TV show, and you didn't really know what to expect with this thing.
Well, that's right.
People started standing in line, though, so it was a hit right out of the box.
It was a hit right off the box. Yeah, that's right. You may remember the story. It was a year where there was some big lawsuit about bringing intelligent design to teach us science in the classrooms. And we at the College of Science felt that it was important not to be partisan, but actually to educate the community about what we understood about evolution. So we put together a lecture series in a rush. The first lecture was advertised at the Center for Creative Photography, which holds about 250 people.
I remember this story.
And there was a mob. There was a mob out there trying to get in.
Yeah.
So that year, we had a lecture. There were five lectures, and every day we had it in a different place until we ended up in Centennial Hall filling it up.
And you've been in Centennial Hall ever since, and the series has grown. This year, you've got, seven. And let's go over some of the topics. It's going to start off Monday with the title will be, What is Life?
Right. Well, first, let me just say that because it is the 10th lecture, the 10th anniversary, we decided to do something as bombastic as we could, and that was Life in the Universe. We decided to make it longer than usual, so we have seven lectures instead of the five or seven or six, and we brought in the best of the best. The first lecture is by Brother Guy Consolmagno. He's a Jesuit brother who is part of the Vatican Observatory and a PhD student from the U of A. Claim to fame of Guy is that he just got the Carl Sagan Award in astronomy.
Wow.
For science. And if you go on YouTube and watch him spar with Colbert. He's the only individual I've seen that had Colbert in stitches and speechless. So it should be a great lecture about what we understand life is. And there, in some ways, a lecture will be a lot about definitions, but he's a fascinating lecturer. One of the key questions that is asked throughout this lecture series is, what actually are we looking for? So defining life is important, because what we're trying to do is look for the evidence of life, in some cases through telescopes. So what are those markers that we're actually looking for? So Guy's lecture will be important because it sort of defines for the rest of the lecture series the challenges of what we're even looking for.
And the some of the other topics, planet formation and the origin of life, life on Earth by chance or by law, complexity and evolution, what makes life so interesting, searching for life in the solar system. So the as you say, a fundamental question has to be, when we talk about life, it might not necessarily be life as we know it.
Correct.
Yes.
Correct.
I mean, it's... encompasses
no, that's
a
right.
lot of things.
And, I mean, it's quite interesting. Right now, what we are doing is in a planet-centric kind of view. We look for life that is similar to, or at least leaves a fingerprint like the life on Earth. So astronomers have the challenge of looking for planets in other solar systems. It's a technological challenge because they're looking for a small dark object next to an incredibly bright object and big. But we've got the optics to do that. And then what we do is we try to do spectroscopy on the atmospheres of these units, looking for oxygen, because in the case of our Earth, if it wasn't for life, we wouldn't have so much oxygen in the atmosphere. So that's sort of an example of the biomarkers I'm talking about. And when we go to Mars, and we've landed a variety of things on Mars, well, unless you actually dig up a clam, there's also the challenge of, what are we looking for, right? What is the evidence of life? Are they complex hydrocarbons, or is it whatever? So it is important to recognize that even defining what we're looking for is a challenge.
One of the lectures, the one on March the 2nd, will be on Monday night at Centennial Hall. This is going to be an interesting one, Amazing Discoveries, a Billion Earth-like Worlds. I mean, there's so many possibilities out there,
sure.
But will they be what we're necessarily thinking of, will have some kind of life?
Right. So again, when we're looking at planets in other solar systems, we're pretty limited in what we can look for. So we are looking for spectrographic evidence in the atmospheres, what we consider to be clues of life. So the challenge is purely optical and spectroscopy. With respect to the solar system, where we can actually send missions to those the objects of the solar system, then it's different, because we can actually land spacecrafts and dig underground. In the case of, I think it's the lecture series, which is the mission OSIRIS-REx, which is a U of A mission, it's going to an asteroid, collecting soil from the asteroid and bringing it back to Earth to analyze. So there, the direct observations are very different. What we can actually try to look for is dramatically different than what we're trying to look for in solar systems that are outside of ours, with planets that are in those solar systems. But another exciting thing, just to give you an idea of the kinds of thinkings that go on within these folks, the OSIRIS-REx mission, the reason for it, is that when the Earth was formed 4.5 billion years ago, more or less, the early life of the Earth, the Earth was bombarded by big objects, one of them probably ripping the moon out of the Earth, but also melting the Earth at least once, maybe more. And when the Earth was a magma ocean, as they call it, the carbon of the Earth probably evaporated off the Earth. So that then the carbon that we're all made out of is brought to us later by implantation by asteroids. So you and I are Martians.
I thought I had a connection at some point to the Martian world. Now I know for sure. You know, the title of this series, Life in the Universe, and you could probably put a subtitle there, Are We Alone? That
right.
might be, because I think that is really kind of the bottom line about are we out there alone, or are there some other folks like us somewhere?
Right.
Or maybe not like us at all.
Well, maybe not.
Yeah.
There are two biology lectures there, and
okay.
And those are going to be extraordinary. The one by Brian Enquist and
on February 9th.
Right, yeah. In which he talks about evolution as just by accident, or there are laws that rule evolution. And the argument there is that there's been a few times where the Earth has been, we almost lost all of the life on Earth. 90% of the species disappeared at one point, and things come back more or less the same with the same sort of rules. So there are two biology lectures that people are just going to love, and I mean, I think the whole lecture series is going to be extraordinary.
It will be. Dr. Joaquin Ruiz, thank you very much. Folks can find out more at COS, that's for collegeofscience.arizona.edu. You've got the full listing of the lecture series. They're free and open to the public. Advice, though, folks, get there early. Dr. Ruiz, always a pleasure to see you. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, Bill, and have a good year.
Thank you very much. We are off to a great year so far here on the Buckmaster Show, beginning year number 5. A big shout out to one of our sponsors, Mike Emery and the team at Perfection Auto Works. If you're looking for a fantastic mechanic for your domestic or foreign car, it's perfectionautoworks.com. Coming up this afternoon, 4 Tucson at 4 with Mike Shaw. Wake Up Tucson, 6 to 8 tomorrow morning. Then the Daily Double with Christy Simone, 8 to 9. Then me, Bill Buckmaster, back with you at 12:04 tomorrow afternoon, along with Ed Alexander. We wish you a great afternoon and evening.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.